Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. September the 1st, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can look around us today and see the fulfillment of your words. We ask now, Lord, that you would give us the strength to stand amidst that fulfillment, that we might be prepared to meet with that which is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I'd like to share with you an article that is found in the Washington Post. It was published on January the 24th, 2019, and it is incredibly relevant to where we stand today. As I said before, the article is found in the Washington Post, published on January the 24th, 2019. And the title of the article is How to Live with Constant Reminders That the Earth is in Trouble. Yes, that is the title. How to Live with Constant Reminders That the Earth is in Trouble. And of course, today is September the 1st. The article was written back on January the 24th, 2019. The writer of the article is Dan Zak. That's D-A-N, Dan, Z-A-K, Zak. Here's the article. What does it mean to be alive right now? Right now. Right this second. Right this epoch as mankind alters the earth beyond recognition. In Arizona in the summer, the pinyon pines don't smell like they used to, says Nikki Cooley, and the wind sometimes feels in error, like it's blowing the wrong way at the wrong time of year. She knows these are feelings, not data, but she's measuring them nonetheless. Cooley, who's 39 years old, grew up without running water or electricity in the nation's land, herding her grandfather's sheep and sleeping in cornfields. She became one of the first members of her family to get a master's degree in forestry. And now she has her dream job, co-managing a tribe and climate change program in Arizona, acting as an emissary between her ancestral world and the modern one that has upended it. If you talk to elders, who are some of the most revered people in our tribal communities, Cooley says, they're like, we told you so. We have been saying this. The world will not stay the same. Scientists too have been saying this. Data, not feelings. A United Nations panel reported in October that we have around 12 years to act if we want to keep the quite horrible from becoming truly terrible. A report this month says that Antarctic glaciers are melting faster than we thought. Also this month, environmental dangers occupied the top three spots on a survey in the biggest global risks, as compiled by the World Economic Forum. They told us so, and they continue to tell us so. But here's where you stop reading, because you have a mortgage payment to scrap together. You have a kid to pick up after school. You have a migraine headache. The U.S. government is in shambles. You're sitting at your desk or on the subway, and the deep in the southern Indian Ocean, blue whales are calling to each other at high pitches to be heard over the crack and whoosh of melting polar ice. What do you even do with that? I don't believe it, President Trump said of one of his administration's November report, which stated that climate change is transforming where and how we live. I don't believe it, said the president. How do we live? Day by day, mostly. Many of those days are spent trying to be stable, happy, and prosperous. Americans are increasingly certain that human activity is causing global warming, according to a report published Tuesday by Yale and George Mason universities. But who has the willpower or the luxury to always think generationally or geologically to the end of this century, to the uncertainties beyond. This is a great time to either collapse or to make great changes, says Representative Alan Lowenthal, a member of the 3-year-old Climate Solution Caucus. And we don't know which way we're doing it or we're going. Now, let me pause here to say that this is an article that is testifying of the change of the nation. And of course, you're aware of the fact that most scientists and most people believe that this is being done with something called climate change. What I didn't read for you this morning is a quote that is found in Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark 13 and in Luke 21 that describes the change of the famines and the pestilences and the way that the world is changing. And it's pretty clear that from the Word of God, it is pretty clear that all of this has been foretold in advance. But it is when we get to the Great Controversy on page 589, where the servant of the Lord begins to describe exactly what is happening now, the pestilences and the change in the way the world works. And she's placing very clearly before us the scenario of why it is so. She opens up page 589 and paragraph 3 with the statement that Satan has studied the laboratories of nature and he's learned to know it very well. And she goes on to describe all of the things that are happening now. Not the things that are going to happen in the future. The things that we see happening now. The things that most of these scientists are claiming is climate change. And yes, the climate is changing. The problem is, do they understand who's changing that climate? Because Great Controversy, page 589, beginning at paragraph 3, makes the point very clearly as to who is doing that. Satan has studied the laboratories of nature, and he has learned to know it well. He's done this, he's done that, he blows in the air, and pestilences and diseases occur, and thousands perish. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, very clear about the wars and rumors of wars and the difficulties that we see happening around us day by day. And it is clear that the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from the earth. Yes, the environment is changing. It is warmer. There are more floods and more pestilences. But that is not a natural occurrence now. This is not because we have released more carbon into the atmosphere, and it won't be solved when we cut back on the amount of carbon we release, because it is pretty clear that this entire scenario that we see happening around us is the fruit of the war that Satan is waging against God and his people, especially against the remnant of his church. You and I need to understand, yes, the climate is changing. The question is, why is it changing? And who is doing the change? Listen to how this article continues. The midterm cycle flushed out nearly half of the 45 Republicans in the caucus, a blow to the bipartisan stability, but it swept in Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York. And suddenly, Capitol Hill was talking about a Green New Deal, about the waywardness of the capitalist adventure. The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change, she says. Monday in New York, that would be Ocasio-Cortez with a doomsayer zeal. And your biggest idea and issue is, how are we going to pay for it? Climate change is a huge issue, the acting head of the Environmental Protection Agency told a Senate committee this month. But not our greatest crisis. An issue, not a crisis? The charged graveyard of Paradise, California is an issue, not a crisis. Unless, of course, you lived in Paradise, California. The Cassandras among us look at paradise, smote by a wildfire without precedent, and see the future in miniature, drought-stricken and ever more flammable. We freak out, but go about our business. The problem is clear, but it has yet to consume us. And of course, as I said before, yes, things are changing. There are more fires in California. There are more storms everywhere. There is a continued drought in some places and floods coming in on all other places. Yes, the nation is changing. Yes, the temperature is rising. Yes, it is warmer in the cities. Yes, it surely is. The question is, who's doing it? It certainly is not a natural occurrence. This is more than just the use of carbon emissions. And it will not be solved by the cessation of carbon emissions. It is quite clear that Satan has studied the laboratories of nature, and in his war against the remnant of God's church, he's blown into the atmosphere. And the world is changing. The environment is changing. The temperature is changing. The availability of clean water is changing. Every aspect of our existence is changing. And so the question that we asked at the beginning of the program, how to live with constant reminders that the earth is in trouble, the only way to do that is to turn to the Word of God and to take a look at exactly what God is saying about what is causing this and why it is where it is right now. But notice how the article continues. It says, stealthy effects is the term Michael Palonoso uses. He's a professor of anthropology at the University of Maryland who studied the Chesapeake Bay for years. He has a small house on Deal Island. When there is flooding in the county, school starts late. Bus drivers are advised not to traverse standing water if both sides of the road are submerged. So what if you have to go to work and your kids haven't been picked up? They're the day-to-day sort of grind. And soon people will be planning their trips to town or marshy areas and coastal peninsulas based on the tides. Climate change is more sly than time-lapse video of the disintegrating glacier. It's the creep of bay water into the ditches and then onto roads. It's a smell. It's a nuisance. It's a crinkling of the calendar. All of this is changing. Yes, it is, as the article is making it very clear. It is obvious to see how much it is changing. Storms after one after the other. Floods one after the other. Pestilences one after the other. Continued and continuous deaths one after the other. Yes, it is changing. Question is, why is it changing and who is changing it? You and I need to understand that when we look around us today, all of the testimony that you have of what is described so constantly by the scientists as climate change has a much deeper source than that. It is Satan's attempt to destroy. To destroy and to turn God's people away from the truth. To help us to become so involved in what is happening around us that we turn to the scientific explanation of it rather than to recognize that all of this is being caused by the battle that continues between the God of heaven and the devil. And his attempt to take control, and having lost his ability to take control, he now seeks to disturb and frustrate and undermine everything that has to do with this earth in which we live. So yes, things are changing. The weather is stronger. The storms are more intense. The floods are deeper. Whole cities are wiped out. The question is, why did it happen? And who did that? The children of God today have been warned concerning these things, and we ought to know this better than anyone else. We've been told in advance that all of the things we see happening around us are not accidental by any means, and it is not about our carbon emission, much as we would like to think that is what it is. And even if it were that, would we be able to solve the problem? Would people stop emitting as much carbon as they do? An issue has arisen recently having to do with the COVID-19, and it includes the concept of the taking of vaccines and the wearing of facial masks. And it is amazing the percentage of human beings who refuse to be in either part of those activities. Now, if you can't get a person to put a mask on, to go outside to interact with other individuals, are you going to get them to cut back on their carbon emissions? I can hear their argument right now. We are a free country. We should be able to make our own decisions about what we use, what mechanical devices we use. You need to find another way to solve the problem, they would say, because we're not going to wear the mask and we're not going to cut back on our emissions or carbon emissions. So the question is not whether or not the changes are taking place. It has to do with what is causing it. Ultimately, you and I are going to face the results of all of this. Things are going to get progressively worse. As a matter of fact, the bottom part of that paragraph that I referred to, page 589 and the last part of the paragraph, makes the point that ultimately, those of us who follow the commandments of God and obey His will are going to be blamed because of all of these things that are happening in the world, that are being seen around us. And the question is simple. Are we ready to make the right decisions? Are we strong enough to stand with the truth? Or are you going to be turned aside as easily as you've been turned aside by other issues? Are you willing to surrender your life completely to God, rooted and grounded in truth? The rock of faith, totally and absolutely in your heart, that you cannot be convinced otherwise? Or are you going to bow down while you're pretending to be praying to the image on the plain of Dura? Today God is calling you to stand with Him. He's calling you to demonstrate to Him the love that you have for Him. But more important than that, He's given you the solution to the problem long before the problem arose. He's told you how to solve the COVID-19. He's explained to you what needs to be done in order that all of this can be pushed aside. The question is, are you answering Him? Are you obeying His instructions? Or are you preferring to follow the instructions given by human beings who have not the slightest idea how it is and why it is in the first place? You and I need to be ready for what is coming. You and I need to have an understanding of where we stand and what will be the issues that we will have to confront. If you think that the issues that we're confronting now are important and phenomenal, then I want you to know that the issues that we will have to confront are much bigger, much grander, much wider, and much more powerful than the ones that we're seeing now. There are a couple of paragraphs in this article that I'd like to close with today. The first one says, "It is an immense privilege to be alive at this time," Alice Mayer says from Edmundian. "We owe it to ourselves to try as hard as we can to understand what's going on and to give meaning to it. Only by understanding our lives as meaningful can we hope to create a meaningful change." Of course, what she's saying is true. The only thing is that she's pointing this in the direction of climate change, of cutting back on the carbon emissions, about changing the way that we use water and all of the other elements of our lives. What I would suggest to you today, that it is an immense privilege to be alive at this time. We owe it to ourselves to try to understand what we can understand concerning God's word and what he's told us about what is going to happen. And what is happening right now, we need to know that this is indeed what he has been talking about. And he's provided us a solution. Turn your heart over to God. Ask forgiveness for the ugliness that you have performed in the past. Allow your heart to be led by him and submit to the instruction that he will give so that you will learn how to stand before kings. And how to stand before the King of Kings. So today God is calling you. Calling you to indeed be that child who is an example to others of the way God would have you live. Today God is calling you. The question is, what is your answer? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give. We thank you that you have called us in this marvelous opportunity that you've given, that we might live according to your will and find ourselves ready to go home with you. We pray for those who are on this line. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what is important here so that we might indeed be obedient to your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, September the 1st, 2021.